Welcome to this week's episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. My name is Miranda Schmalfus, and I'm an editor with Pharmaceutical Executive. On this week's episode, I speak with Lachelle Robinson, Head of Global Feasibility and Trial Equity at Takeda. Lachelle and I are going to discuss strategies to address underrepresentation in clinical trials, particularly in phase 3 psoriasis trials, Takeda's partnerships with community stakeholders like Inside Edge, Black Health Matters, and Hispanic Communications Global Network to improve engagement, address operational barriers, and prioritize sites with diverse patient demographics, how they've enhanced investigator diversity through multilingual toolkits and educational sessions, how they aim to expand these efforts globally, and much more. Okay, Lachelle, thank you so much for joining me today. What specific strategies is Takeda implementing to address the disproportionate underrepresentation of racial and ethnic groups in clinical trials, particularly in its phase 3 psoriasis trials and beyond?
Well, first and foremost, I wanted to say thank you. My name is Lachelle Robinson, and I am the head for global feasibility and trial equity. So my day-to-day job is really focused on making sure that all of our trials really have the representation of patients that reflect the real world, and including for psoriasis for these trials. So I think it goes without saying that our ambition from the very beginning was to ensure that our phase 3 trials for psoriasis had better reflection of the real-world patient population, because we did see a gap. When we were looking at the real-world data, we noticed that things like underdiagnosis, longer treatment paradigm, or longer pathway to diagnosis also impacted the people that were represented in our clinical trials. So we wanted to ensure that from the very beginning, we were really thinking about this and implemented our tested, tried, and true PAVE strategy, which is our strategy really to make sure that underrepresented and underserved populations are included in our trial. So a little bit more about that. First, our P is partnering with community stakeholders. We partnered with organizations such as Inside Edge, Black Health Matters, Hispanic Communications Global Network to really ensure that we have better engagement with communities that were underrepresented and underserved, specifically for psoriasis. These organizations have tried and true relationships, and we were able to really leverage that to connect with patients in a more authentic manner, not only educating them about psoriasis, but also around the importance of them participating in clinical research and how that helps contribute to better science. We also had the A, which is addressing operational barriers that really impede patient access. And this is where we really spend a lot of time around the planning, the operations, looking at the protocol. One of the things that we did immediately was incorporate multicultural imagery. So we know that most of the imagery for plaque psoriasis is of patients that are white. And the impact that that has is it creates a longer diagnosis pathway. We see gaps in even the teaching around dermatology, et cetera. And so we wanted to make sure that we had multiracial and multi-ethnic imagery, skin of color, multiple images represented, so that we could start closing that gap in even the operations. We also did careful site selection where we prioritized sites that had a broader reach and broader patient representation in our feasibility process, and even went so far as to ask our sites to really tell us about the demographics of their patients so we could prioritize the selection. And then when we went to V, this was verifying that any goal that we had around representation was truly reflective of the patient data. One of the things that we saw at the very beginning is even though psoriasis is one of the most common skin disorders, there's a lack of epidemiology data that is very specific to race, ethnicity, and even gender breakdown. And so one of the other elements that we did, in addition to looking at literature review and epidemiology, is we also asked our sites what was their real-world patient population. And we used that to actually develop a goal that we felt was more reflective of the patients with psoriasis. And then finally, E was enhancing the diversity of our investigative sites. And this is where we really, really deepened the education and sharing the best practices to support more accurate diagnosis of psoriasis and skin of color at the very beginning. So we offered sites with multilingual toolkits where they could actually discuss what is clinical research in just the general sense, and also how does that transmit to our particular trial. We even had an investigator do a session at our, what we call an investigator meeting. And this is where we pull all of our sites and those participating together to really educate them on the protocol, give them the opportunity to ask questions, and also use this as an opportunity to share best practices around diagnosing skin of color. So we, in fact, had two sessions that were dedicated to that, so that at the end of the day, our sites were very well prepared and also were thinking a little bit differently around how they could connect with patients that are traditionally left out of research.
Yeah, that patient education is super important. I have a lot of conversations about how to make that more engaging, how to get that more widespread to the populations that we can't reach, especially the ones that are in pharmacy deserts, things like that. That's so important. So it's interesting to hear that that's now being prioritized, because it should be. It seems like common sense to be able to educate, because it helps build that trust with the patient, you know, with the industry overall, not just with the one trial, but with research in general.
Exactly. And one of the aspects of PAVE that I talked about kind of in partnering with community stakeholders, we recognize that for some sites, this is a completely brand new ask that we're asking them to do. Have you done community engagement? For some of them, that's no. And so one of the unique aspects that we did here is we actually had a centralized manner to connect them with community. So at least one of our sites in Los Angeles was actually able to connect with the community group, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, which is the oldest Black fraternity. And they also partnered with their sister organization, and they had a session about Plaque psoriasis. And what was amazing is we were able to even address like myths that we see from patients. For example, psoriasis is not contagious. We did before and after survey results where we saw an increase in just the knowledge about psoriasis. And what I thought was the most amazing part of that particular outreach is at the end of the day, over 90% of them said that they would talk to someone in their family or in their circle around psoriasis and the importance of clinical research. So to your point, it's the perfect opportunity to start building that trust through education just by showing up.
90%, that is a wonderful metric. If we had 90% of the population engaged in clinical research, just think about the results that we would be getting. It's insane to think about like the type of results. So kind of moving forward in our conversation. Beyond the US, how is Takeda addressing the need for representative clinical trials globally, considering that there are 60 million people worldwide living with psoriasis? And are there unique challenges in different regions?
So one of the aspects I always like to highlight is the U.S. definitely has very specific aspects that we know around trial diversity. And that doesn't necessarily translate to every single region. So Takeda really intends to expand those efforts by drawing on that U.S. strategy framework, but making sure that it's adapted to what is most important per country, per region, specifically when it comes to even talking about the patient perspective. For example, what does underrepresented or underserved mean in a particular community? That could vary. In the US, it could be race and ethnicity, gender, even location. But when we start looking at other parts of the world, it could even be how they're accessing healthcare, for example, a difference in that. Gender or sex tends to be a factor that consistently plays a role that we're seeing regardless of geography. And so that will be one of our areas of key focus as we start to broaden this into other geographies. But you're right. While we have this global problem, it's extremely important that we're taking that time to understand what it means from a patient perspective in that region. And that's how we'll start expanding globally.
Can you provide some examples of how Takeda is ensuring that the data collected from these more diverse trials is translated into improved real-world outcomes for patients?
So the first part was really ensuring that our trials were representative of the real-world patient population. It can become difficult to even talk about outcomes if we don't have that inclusion. And so, again, we're really looking at this as a way to serve the patients that we aim to treat so that we have better outcomes from patients. Because, again, we've studied how different populations may respond to different therapies differently, but that's usually after the drug is approved. And so we wanted to make sure that we're taking that into account in the context of our trial. One of the aspects that we're really looking forward to is Takeda is also working to share the epidemiology data that we've collected to better help and support further research and understanding in the area. So future facing, please stay tuned for that, because directionally that can really help different areas of understanding in this area of psoriasis.
Well, we're definitely going to have a future conversation to be able to check up on
Absolutely.
That. What are some of the key barriers you've identified in achieving representative clinical trials, and how are you overcoming them?
In particular, for the Hispanic and Asian communities, one of the largest aspects was lack of translated materials or materials in like the native language. And so one of the gaps that we closed was providing translated materials, and we're hoping to really help overcome that barrier around just health literacy. So as an example, as a standard practice in 2023, we automatically translate all of our clinical trial materials that are patient-facing into Spanish. And this is before a site requests this, and that has actually helped close the gap and have a positive impact on connecting with the Hispanic community. So moving forward, that's the same strategy that we are looking to expand for other multilingual audiences. Second, to better reach and engage with underserved populations, I mentioned some of the partners, Inside Edge, Black Health Matters, and Hispanic Global Communications Network. Since they have a lot of trust already built with the community, it made it very nice to partner with them to do some of these educational aspects, one of which I mentioned, specifically working with that fraternity and sorority to share information. But we also use that as a mechanism to record videos. So for example, we heard from sites that oftentimes they want another mechanism to talk about clinical research in just a general aspect, and a video would be nice. So we worked with Inside Edge and one of our principal investigators that was on the trial to develop a video, not only in English, but also in Spanish, that they could use with potential patients to just get them comfortable with research and share that information. And then also in the development of our patient-facing materials, specifically for psoriasis, because we knew imagery was one of those core issues, we wanted to make sure that our patient materials also included multicultural imagery. And that came into play very, very largely when we started seeing that our Asian population was lagging behind in the execution of the trial. Because we had already had this discussion, had this proactive planning, we were actually able to use the imagery to enhance our social media and digital outreach, and also connect with our sites that we knew were in closer proximity to the Asian communities and Asian patient communities, so that we could start in real time addressing that lagging behind. And that actually turned out well because we were able to meet that particular trial metric. So all of these different aspects, when we're talking about challenges and barriers, become very, very important to have that proactive plan so that in real time you can address these issues and really start to look at them from a holistic standpoint instead of waiting till the end of the trial or waiting until the trial is already in flight and then trying to solution fit on the fly.
Certainly with AI and having so much technology available, it's almost a no-brainer to just have it available, in especially in the population that you're trying to have the trial be from. It seems like a no-brainer to just have that. And even with, we were talking about closed captions before.
Exactly.
It's very easy to have it be available now, where it could be an English-speaking video, but the captions themselves could translate into another language.
Precisely. So just little things like that. I always like to think of this work as, okay, who are the patients we're trying to impact, and how can we plug all the little holes of where they can lose information, not have access to it, and just thinking about presenting it in a different manner or in a different setting so that everyone has access. We know that one of the biggest challenges, aside from psoriasis, when we're talking about access to research, is just simply knowing that a trial is ongoing. And so the better we can do with just showing up in all these different places and spaces, we can just really serve to educate the community. And I'm often surprised, and I think other people are surprised, at how many people are so willing to participate.
So what are some of the long-term sustainability plans for these initiatives, and how will Takeda ensure that diversity and inclusion remains a priority in its clinical trials moving forward?
Well, first and foremost, we talked a little bit about our U.S. efforts, but we're also intending to expand globally, and this trial is included with that. But we're also making sure, again, that region by region, we're adapting it to what is best for that region and the perspective that each of those patient populations or communities may bring. I always say we try to get to the community before they've thought of a clinical trial so that they're empowered with that information. And again, region by region, that may differ. And so again, I'm really looking forward to just the learnings that we'll get as we're connecting in different areas of the world around clinical research and how we can make that a reality to connect. But one of the measures that I always like to mention is, as we may see a change, we are committed to patients, or what I like to say, PTRB, patient, trust, reputation, business, in that order. That is our corporate philosophy, and those are always our four priorities when we are looking at developing a treatment that is meant to treat patients, quite frankly. And so when we think about the reflection of disease in our clinical trials and making sure that it accurately reflects, it really becomes about what's best for patient and making sure that we have the best scientific research to do that.
I totally agree. And the proactivity, it just helps build that patient trust to be there before they even ask for it. That's going to be so important moving forward, especially in the current climate that we're in. So important to build that relationship. And I think that you guys are on the right track.
I appreciate it. And I would say too, I think we had a little bit of a jump start because in 2022, we started requiring all of our trials to have a plan. And just the measure of having a plan and asking people to start thinking about that, whether they are in clinical operations, feasibility, patient recruitment, patient advocacy, it's literally asking them to put on their little lens from where they're sitting and seeing how they can tweak it just a little bit. Not asking them to do anything like ostentatious in their role. It could be as simple as I mentioned, putting imagery for patient recruitment, for selecting sites that may be in a diverse geography, for a protocol. In this case, it was including imagery and including wording that psoriasis is just not a red on the skin tone because it could vary. So all of these are just little tweaks that add up to that big picture in the end. And we've been very successful with working with all of our teams to really start thinking about it from that vantage point. So it's embedded into the Takeda fabric.
Well, you certainly have me thinking about it because as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know what? Yeah, all the commercials that I see for psoriasis, they're all white people. And there are so many varied skin tones. It's a no-brainer to include multicultural skin tones in your advertisements, in your imagery, in your protocol. It just makes sense. So I couldn't agree with you more. Lachelle, thank you so much for joining me today. This was a great way to start off my week.
It's always good to start off talking about patients and what we can do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast, where we take you behind the headlines to provide expert tips from industry leaders. Remember, you can always find us on the web at pharmexec.com. on Facebook under Pharmaceutical Executive Magazine, on X at PharmExec, and on Instagram and Threads at PharmExecutive. The views on this podcast do not reflect those of MJH Life Sciences, our parent company, or our advertisers. For editorial questions or to get in touch with our editors, please email us at pharmexec@mjhlifesciences.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please go to pharmexec.com/advertise. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.